It's been a day of big announcements from NATO and bad news for Russia in the fifth month of its invasion. 3, 2, 1. It's been a day of big announcements from NATO and bad news for Russia in the fifth month of its invasion of Ukraine. NATO leaders announced a massive military buildup, a permanent U.S. military presence in Poland, and perhaps most important, a breakthrough agreement for neutral Finland and non-aligned Sweden to join the 30-member military alliance. President Joe Biden summed it up.
Putin's looking for the Finlandization of Europe. You're going to get the NATOization of Europe. And that's exactly what he didn't want, but exactly what needs to be done to guarantee security for Europe.
Biden was speaking from Madrid, where he was attending a NATO summit meeting. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg described the 2022 summit as historic and transformative.
First of all, the decision to invite Finland and Sweden to become members demonstrates that NATO's door is open. It demonstrates that President Putin did not succeed in closing NATO's door. NATO's door remains open. And it also demonstrates that we respect the sovereign right of every nation to choose their own path. So we, of course, respected Finland and Sweden when they decided to stay out of NATO for many, many years. But then we also welcome them and respect their decision to join NATO.
Turkey had opposed NATO membership for the two countries, accusing them of supporting what it called Kurdish terrorist groups. But after tough negotiations, Turkey agreed Tuesday night to lift its opposition. Finland and Sweden agreed, among other things, to lift their restrictions on arms sales to Turkey. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan says Turkey, in his words, got what it wanted. But the agreement was not welcomed by Kurdish activists, like Swedish lawmaker Amina Kakabova. She's part of a Sweden's 100,000-strong Kurdish community. She calls it a black day in Swedish political history, saying Stockholm was sacrificing the Kurds for the sake of NATO membership. But Stoltenberg calls it a good agreement for Turkey, for Finland and Sweden, and for NATO. The next step is approval from the 30 NATO member countries.
I cannot speak on behalf or promise anything on behalf of 30 different parliaments, but the message in the room is that throughout the alliance there is a strong will to work with parliaments so they can do the ratification as soon as possible. So this has moved fast so far, and of course I expect that the allies are ready to also ratify as soon as possible.
The Kremlin was quick to respond. Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Ryabkov said, "We consider the expansion of NATO a purely destabilizing factor in international affairs." But that was not the only bad news for Russia coming out of Madrid. There were other NATO announcements, some rhetorical, some more tangible. NATO announced a new 2022 strategic concept that declares Russia to be the most significant and direct threat to our security. Stoltenberg also announced NATO was expanding its rapid response force from 40,000 troops to 300,000. President Biden announced he's boosting the U.S. presence in Europe with reinforcements for NATO. That will include setting up a permanent U.S. military headquarters in Poland, sending two more naval destroyers to Spain, two squadrons of F-35 stealth fighters for the United Kingdom, and air defense systems for Germany and Italy.
And together, our allies, we're going to make up sure that NATO is ready to meet threats from all directions across every domain, land, air, and the sea. In a moment when Putin has shattered peace in Europe and attacked the very, very tenets of a rule-based order, the United States and our allies, we're going to step up. We're stepping up.
Stoltenberg announced new military aid for Ukraine, as well as ramped up military spending by NATO members. He vowed continuing support for Ukraine over the long term.
This war will, as most other wars, at some stage end at the negotiating table. But it is important that Ukraine is able to get an agreement on their terms, which is acceptable for Ukraine. And therefore, we know that there is a very close link between what they can achieve around the negotiating table and their strength on the battlefield. And therefore, our focus now is to support them on the battlefield with many different types of lethal and non-lethal support.
All of that militarization, of course, comes with a price tag, as Stoltenberg acknowledged.
I have been a politician myself for many years, and I understand that it's always easier to invest in health, in education, in infrastructure, instead of allocating money for defense. That's very easy to understand. And that was the reason why NATO allies reduced defense spending after the end of the Cold War. But if we reduce defense spending when tensions are going down, we have to be able to increase defense spending when tensions are going up and when we live in a more dangerous world.
The new NATO actions take place as the war in Ukraine drags on in a violent and constantly changing environment. People will be watching developments from different perspectives, military, political, humanitarian, and perhaps more. In Rome Wednesday, Pope Francis issued a statement saying he's praying that, in his words, this crazy war will end soon. Reporting for Pacifica Radio News KPFA, I'm Christopher Martinez.